This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Hello. In the traditional motion picture story, the villains are usually defeated. The ending is a happy one. I can make no such promise for the picture you're about to watch. The story isn't over. You and the audience are part of the conflict.
The protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
That would authorize to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. But homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City. But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Gleason and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one turkey at a time. Yes, I'm talking about the country of Turkey because you see, President Barack Hussein Obama's best friend in the Middle East is about to go down. At least that's what it's looking like. There is a coup in progress right now in Turkey. Perhaps the most strategic country on the planet right now is Turkey, and Erdogan, his good friend, the guy that people say that Obama calls every single day to ensure that the caliphate is moving forward, is at risk of falling. And with us right now to give us his perspective on this is our very own Chris Street. And Chris, this is big news, isn't it, when you perhaps have President Erdogan falling from grace in Turkey?
Well, I think it's tremendous news, and it's sort of the antithesis of what Barack Obama is all about. This is a guy who, when inaugurated, he said, change has come to America today. Some silly people didn't believe him.
Well, we've had the change, and we've seen it, and we're not liking it. And it seems that the world is not liking the likes of the Muslim Brotherhood influence in Turkey right now. And, of course, the Turks aren't either liking it. The military is pretty important to the Turkish government, isn't it?
Well, it's had a long history, of course, of a Turkey essentially being in the form of a monarchy, a king, if you will, and it was the British and French after World War I that decided that they would create a bunch of small and unstable countries. Their philosophy was, if they hated each other within the country a lot, then we could manage them and we'd be the only sense of stability. That's not working for the world very well today. And the way it stabilized after the 1970s was a series of autocratic leaders, you know, dictators, if you like, and they got along well with that. Once Barack Obama and his Arab Spring and his revolutions and gun running came to America, you know, he really set off, you know, a tremendous explosion, and probably has killed more people than just about any other thug or tyrant in history.
Well, you know, this is some of the things that, you know, you and I have been talking about this and pounding on the table for a number of years since Benghazi. And as you know, our coverage of that has just been absolutely stellar. But the purpose behind our coverage and what we revealed then in 2012 was all this gun running and the slaughter that was about to happen, which has happened now. And, you know, we cannot say enough bad words about this president and the number of people that he has killed.
And created, you know, the opportunity for them to die because I guess they needed killing or something. You know, this is a guy who the military doesn't mind killing people. But what they'll tell you is if you kill people by drones, you know, you can create animosities for 100 years. If you kill them in battle, it's sort of manly and you know, they've had their chance and they fought and they, you know, they went their way. But when you just drone massive numbers of people, you know, you create a chain of enmity that goes on through generations. So, you know, this can of worms that has been opened up, I believe, you know, is going to last for 100 years, and we are just in the front end of it.
Well, you know, and as you know, Chris, and perhaps our public, our listening audience doesn't know necessarily, but grudges are carried on for hundreds, if not thousands, of years in the Middle East.
Well, they have good reason to. You know, they've been around for 15,000 years. They've had society for 15,000 years.
Yeah, and you see, you know, we have been around for 240 years. We're just sort of a blink of an eye, according, you know, time-wise, in comparison to what these people have gone through. And, of course, the grudges last forever in these societies and in these cultures. You see this within religions, Catholic Church in particular, also in Islam specifically. You know, as example, as I was talking about last night on a radio show, as we were doing the coverage of the situation in Nice, the terrorist attack in Nice, which we now have 84 confirmed dead. That attack occurred on Bastille Day, and the significance of Bastille Day in that attack. But also, I cautioned everybody. I said something big is about to happen tomorrow, which is today, July 15th, because it was July 15th on 1099 that the first Crusaders conquered Israel and took it out of the hands and slaughtered literally the Muslims. So payback is the 15th, but it's kind of an interesting payback if you have the Muslim Brotherhood being challenged literally in Turkey by the military.
Well, that's right, Paul. And also yesterday morning, French President Hollande came out and said it was Bastille Day and celebration. He was about to drop the emergency measures in France for terrorism. It also happened to be the day that they dispatched the French, the only French aircraft carrier, to go to the Middle East and bomb ISIS. So it was very naive to think that these kind of events wouldn't have connections and matter.
Well, you know, it's connect the dots because, you know, ISIS can pick up this information about where this aircraft carrier is going. They're realizing something's going to happen. That just all they need to do is make some people operational within France to pay back.
Well, that's right. And I'll give you a statistic that's pretty darn, you know, frightening. Is in France, you have 68,000 people in prison. 60% of them are Muslims. In France, you have 235,000 people on parole. About the same 60% are Muslims. So this is a society that has been brought into France. It is never integrated. You know, France celebrated their diversity, celebrated their differences. There are over 200 imams, many of them radical, that was serving the prison populations. So really the prisons in France became the university of jihadists. A lot of these people that we talk about being self-actualized because they didn't go to Syria or something like that, the common thread was they went to prison, and prison is where they networked and had these relationships.
Well, it's kind of similar to what we see here in the United States, not to that degree, not to that number. That's a really startling number. But, of course, France has long taken in, immigrants and so on. Now, this brings up another interesting question, and we're going to come up to the break here to kind of limit on time, but this brings up the Brexit question because, as we all know, Great Britain just left the EU, took the vote, and they've already replaced Cameron with May and so on. So they're going to go down the road of separating and being a part of, not a part of the EU any longer. In France, Chris, I understand at the time of the Brexit situation that there was polling numbers that were showing that 70% of the population of France wanted out of the EU primarily because of the immigration issue.
I don't know that percentage, Paul, but I can tell you that in France, they know it's a problem. And if you go to France in many of the suburbs, you know, where they have the big projects, the big housing projects,
right,
you know, every night, they burn cars on the street. It's a common thing in France. It's actually becoming a more common thing in Germany. So to think that somehow you can import this population and they will, of course, align with the socialist entities of Europe and be good voters, you know, the only cost you have to do is to have the terrorism that you're now experiencing. So these are not naive moves in globalism that this happened. It just is blowback from strategic move by socialists in Europe to build their idea of a globalist society.
Yep. Hang on, Chris. We got a break coming up. When we come back, more Chris Street talking about what's going on with this coup in Turkey and, of course, the terrorist attack in Nice and all the other things. They are related. We're just connecting the dots for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Chris Street, and we're talking about, well, the whole thing that's going on in the Middle East right now, and the late reports that we're getting here at Agenda 21 Radio Studios is that there is an ongoing coup right now in Turkey to overthrow Turkish President Erdogan, who happens to be best friends with President Barack Hussein Obama. You see, they're ISIS buddies, basically, because Erdogan and his whole family has basically been dipping into, well, the wealth of Iraqi oil, as an example. His son has been implicated in buying and purchasing Iraqi oil from ISIS, captured oil from ISIS. And this is something that's really, of course, infuriated a lot of people. But the allegiance that he has with President Barack Hussein Obama, at some point in the discussion between these two, and this has been out there in the media, is that Erdogan has seen himself as the Grand Caliph of the worldwide caliphate. This is the talking buddy of President Barack Hussein Obama. And remember, the link that's common between them two is the Muslim Brotherhood. And remember, it was on this radio show in October 2012 that John Rasmundo and Steve Emerson of a research project on terrorism made the pronouncement that hundreds, if not thousands, of visits and people working actually within our very own White House were members of the Muslim Brotherhood. We broke it here on this radio show. And Chris, this has been something that's been known for a long time. I guess it's about time that people in the United States start to find out how close they are to these guys have been to one another and this whole ISIS explosion. Now, one of the things that you've picked up is that in France, there's a sort of a movement within the prisons to continue to expand Islam in the reach of the radical Muslim Brotherhood.
Well, that's it's probably even worse than the radical Muslim Brotherhood. They have things much farther, you know, in the way of, you know, Wahhabis and Dervish that, you know, are the history of certain elements of Islam. You know, they say Islam is a religion of peace, and I believe it has been a religion of peace, except that you have elements, you know, in you know, about 18% of the world's population that are extreme radicals who believe in the whole idea that their idea of the coming of Jesus is they need to have a revolution in the Middle East. They need to lose, and when they lose, the Jesus will come at that time. So they're looking forward to losing. That kind of a willingness and commitment is something that the West is going to have to take, you know, notice of and stop funding. We are funding, providing the arms. We are the key players in this whole game. Benghazi was very simply loading up shoulder-fired surface-to-air missiles. These are actually out of date, you know, bad technology to try to actually shoot down a plane or a helicopter, but they worked great when they got to Syria as, you know, sort of bazookas to take out buildings. And that's really what, you know, made the Syrian rebels competitive, is that they had these shoulder-launched missiles and thousands of them that they were using against the Syrian military.
And that was all being facilitated. We were reporting this within hours, about 18, 20 hours of what was happening in Benghazi, because we had developed this information that this was, in fact, happening and ongoing. U.S. arms were being bought and paid for, shipped through by gutter into Libya. Libya was the distribution point. And, of course, our CIA, 13 Hours, the movie portrays this, was actually running around out there trying to buy these weapons up. Well, they got bought up, and then they were turned over to Al-Qaeda, which was shipping them off to Turkey through Syria and into the hands of ISIS, which we were funding. And, Chris, you're absolutely spot on. Scott Bennett, who's been on our radio show numerous times, he was at the Liberty Tour. He's the guy who's got the book out called Shell Game, and he's the one who's identified the terror financing network, he and Brad Birkenfeld, which is exactly what you're talking about. We are funding, even to this day, ISIS and these terror networks, all brought to you by President Barack Hussein Obama, which goes to my point earlier. I think you were alluding to off air at one point. This guy's the biggest killer we've seen in a long time.
Well, it really is. You know, and this is sort of the, you know, no one can, in hindsight, you know, the British and the French were evil in the way they created these countries. You know, but it went through a lot of hell and finally stabilized, and along came, you know, Barack Hussein Obama. You know, some foolish, you know, little liberal intellectual, you know, who thought he'd create revolution in the world, you know, sort of his own personal Marx, and he decided to apply this in the Middle East using two things that were change agents. The first change agent was he went to Cairo University, his first speech out of the United States. Sat the Muslim Brotherhood in the first two rows, and I'm sure ISIS was in the third row, and told them three things: that you have the right to overthrow your autocratic leaders, that America has your back, number two, and number three, it is written. It is written as in the Quran. So Barack Hussein Obama wanted a revolution across the Middle East. He then deployed his campaign, which he turned into these NGOs, non-government organizations, gave them contracts and sent them out to do social media across the Middle East.
Yeah, see, a lot of people, you know, that's a great point, Chris, and I don't think we've talked enough about that, the NGOs, non-governmental organizations. And by the way, you can't not discuss or at least think about George Soros helping to implement all this because of his input and his influence with all the NGOs that are trying very desperately to destroy our own country here, from media to marijuana to the whole nine yards. He's got his hands in just about everything through this NGO process. But NGOs also work in the Middle East, and NGOs that have been generated out of the United States, and by the way, signed off by Lois Lerner, of all people, as a nonprofit organization.
Right, right. But, I mean, this is not something that was some secrecy. All of this was very, you know, visible, above board, you know, part of this whole sort of intellectual circle. You know, you can call them the neocons or the rest of it. I mean, these people in Washington, D.C., in New York, believe that they should be ruling the world. They believe that elitists are some superior thinkers, and all you little people, you know, need to be managed, and we are going to manage you as if we're having a board meeting.
Yeah, and, you know, we, of course, have no input in this. And this is the essence of what Chris is talking about here, the totalitarian mindset for Agenda 21, United Nations Plan for the 21st Century, which is, of course, the namesake for this radio show. And this is clearly how they think. Now, this is all kind of blown up in the face of what's going on with this coup. Should this coup be successful, what do you think is going to happen in Turkey?
Well, I think it will be successful because that's really what works in the Middle East. You know, this idea of democracy in the Middle East, they have no history of democracy. You know, it's really not what they
right.
want. They sort of want a king. You know, the military coup is sort of like a king. You know, look what we did in Egypt. You had a nice, you know, autocrat in Egypt, and you had compound growth rates of 8%. Could you imagine what the United States would be like with 8% growth? That's China. Egypt was growing at the same rate as China.
And again, that was under the leadership of Mubarak.
Correct.
Okay, go ahead.
So along comes Barack Obama and his desire to, you know, he not only had the match, he had the bomb. He had the military capability to give arms that were really, I guess what you'd call change agents.
Yeah.
I mean, who else could provide, what other cover could possibly provide this level of flow of arms? This is not some little deal that, you know, they went down and, you know, bought some old Kalashnikovs at some bazaar. This was industrial level shipments of weapons into Syria.
Well, anyways, hang with us here, ladies and gentlemen. More Chris Street and our analysis of what's going on in Turkey. Now, we're going to be talking about what's going to happen to President Barack Hussein Obama and his influence relative to the Muslim Brotherhood and what's going on in the United States with our fight with ISIS. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
He's undoing the UN, one community at a time. It's Paul Preston.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's Paul Preston at the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio, ladies and gentlemen. Visit our website, agenda21radio.news. Yeah, the new ULR is up, and that's agenda21radio.news. That's where you get your news and information about what's going on in the one world order, folks, and about stopping totalitarianism one person at a time, which is what we want you to do. That's why we're going through all this effort to get the news and information out to you. We're talking about what's going on in the Middle East. Big news, you got the coup attempt in Turkey. Will Erdogan be overthrown? Probably so. My leaning would be to that. What's that going to do to the Obama administration? With us is Chris Street. Chris Street is a co-host here on Agenda 21 Radio, and he's also writes for Breitbart California and does some fantastic articles. And Chris, I guess the next question is, what is this going to do to the Obama administration? Erdogan out? And there's a vacuum there. The military will fill it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know your Turkish history, fantastic history to study and understand. And what you're seeing here is really a situation in Turkey. It goes all the way back to Ataturk after World War I, in which the military became a major hammer to develop a different type of Turkey. And Chris, they got away from the religious aspects of Turkey being an all-solid Muslim country, became more secular under Ataturk, and it seemed to work pretty well.
Well, I think Ataturk was a true patriot, true hero. If anybody's ever, you know, read the history of World War I, you know, Churchill thought the way he'd win World War I is they'd capture Turkey, Constantinople, the old Constantinople, and he'd just invade. And they sent the British battleships, the British army, and the British army delayed for 30 days. In that 30 days, a colonel named Ataturk put together a defense and essentially beat, you know, a 300,000-member British army in one of the greatest defeats in the British Empire and saved Turkey from being overcome during that period. Of course, Turkey lost the war with the Germans and the Austrian-Hungarians losing the war. And after the war, the Ottoman Empire was carved up into pieces. The piece that was left called Turkey was at first with some, you know, puppet government, and then Ataturk and some military officers took over, and they brought stability because they made a secular country where all religions were respected. And if you didn't respect somebody else's religion, Ataturk would personally kill you. So, you know, rules.
Problem solved.
And, you know, they have a tremendous number of tribes and people in Turkey. It's a very historic country. If you've ever been there or know anybody who's been there, they never tear down the old ruins. So there are Christian ruins there. There are Muslim ruins there. There are Zoroaster ruins. There are all these different religions, Shia and everything, and they show respect for it because under Ataturk, if you show disrespect, you probably can lose your hand. And if you did it again, you lose your head.
Well, you know, the key thing here, there's a couple of takeaways from this for Turkey, is that Ataturk really kind of assured that the stability of Turkey would be guaranteed by the military. And as time went on, and of course, so the evolution of the Second World War and so on, to the run-up to Erdogan had his own idea because of his influence with the Muslim Brotherhood, and that was to get rid of the secularism and bring back a Muslim country in the formation of the Muslim Brotherhood. And of course, this worked out perfectly if you're talking about what was going on with President Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton and their policies for the Arab Spring and so on. And so Turkey started to make this shift. It seems like right now they're sick and tired of this whole thing about getting rid of all the monuments and everything to Ataturk and kind of denuding the secularism in Turkey and bringing in the Muslim Brotherhood influence, Muslim influence by the Muslim Brotherhood. That seems to be what the people are tired of, which is also what happened to Morsi in Egypt.
Well, that's exactly right. And these, you know, these revolutions, if you will, these sort of democratic revolutions had nothing to do with democratic revolution. Behind it was the full faith and credit of the United States government through Barack Obama. So the funding and the use of social media, all of these countries with the oil going up in value, all of these countries thought it was a wonderful idea to make cell phones an entitlement. So all of these countries in the Middle East, you know, since they didn't have cell phone service before, you know, after, say, you know, 2006 or so, they brought in the most modern cell phone service in the world, and it was all smartphone capable. So the first phones they ever got were actually smartphones, and they knew nothing about Facebook and that. And our good friend Barack Hussein Obama took advantage of that by bringing these NGOs that started talking to these people in a revolutionary spirit.
And the die was cast.
Absolutely. And the governments in these countries had no clue of the influence.
Right.
You know, to some degree, it's sort of like, you know, McCain in 2008. He had no clue of what social media could do.
Well, and that's very interesting because, you know, people who do not understand the significance of the Internet, you know, they have no clue. So you can just kind of blow by them with the information that they probably really need but don't understand. You can develop varying scales of information that people are getting. And that's what's happened here, and that's obviously what happened when all of a sudden social media just exploded. And who's in charge, who's in control of that social media? But people like Media Matters and President Barack Hussein Obama and Hillary Clinton all pulling the strings for that revolution that started to occur after Obama visited Cairo and said, hey, revolution is what we want.
Well, that's exactly. I mean, this was not some, you know, shock and awe type of thing, something that was a secret, you know, idea. It was very clear if you read Foreign Policy magazine, if you read any of these other elitist organization, you know, foundations in Washington, D.C., that they were making their move. They believed that, you know, we'll change Istanbul and, you know, get a government we like there. We'll change Cairo and get a government we like there. So they just went about changing the world. And Barack Obama, of course, had, you know, something that no one else had ever had in the history of this kind of elitism. He had the United States military and the United States money that, you know, was it really a change agent? I mean, before you had Barack Obama, you had stability. I mean, it's just as soon as he came in, the world started changing, and he was there to accelerate the change. Something that George Soros actually wrote his theory on investment is called reflexivity. And what reflexivity means is when you start to have a crisis, you do whatever you can to make the crisis much, much bigger, and then you create panic. And, of course, George Soros has done this many times in his investments, including breaking, you know, the British pound and making about $1 billion a day at one point.
Well, that's interesting you bring up the term reflexivity because, you know, our good friend Patrick Wood, and he's got the book out there, Technocracy Rising. He makes a big deal about reflexive law, which can't be too much different than George Soros' theory about reflexivity from his standpoint about a crisis.
Well, that's right. You know, if it's you don't just scream fire inside the theater, you start shooting the gun.
Yeah, that's it. That's basically if you want to break down and have that discussion. I don't want to do it right now, but Patrick would love to have that discussion about that's exactly what you do with reflexive law, and that's why they're getting away with so much right now, because they're assuming so much and they're just, you know, basically yelling fire legally in anything they do in a legal circumstance, and then they start shooting the gun. So then what happens? It just throws the whole legal system into chaos, which is a part of this whole technocratic movement, which is scientific totalitarianism. Anyway, we're going to be back with Chris Street. More to come here. We're talking about what's happening in Turkey and what's happening in the Middle East and what's going to happen with this president, President Barack Hussein Obama, in the last few months of his presidency. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860. 800-600-5860.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're talking about what's, I mean, there's just so many things moving today. It's just a very, very fast-moving news day. And to recap a couple things, last night, July 14th, Bastille Day in Nice, France, an Islamic terrorist drove a truck at a high rate of speed and ran over a number of people, shooting his gun as he was going, killing at this late date, we've got a number of 84. There are a number of people that are clinging to life. That's the word that they're using, clinging to life. So that may go up. We just pray that it will not go up, but this is obviously an attack. Earlier in the program, we were talking about the relationship as to the French government sending an aircraft carrier to the Middle East to take out ISIS on the very same day that the president of France was declaring basically there's no more terror threats. Guess what? Bastille Day, it happened. Then today, which is the 15th of July, a significant day in history for Muslims because of the First Crusade taking over Jerusalem. See, they operate on these historical dates. You just can't throw these things out. We now have a coup d'etat in place, or actually occurring in Turkey. And this is a major threat to the President of the United States because of his affiliation with Erdogan, both Muslim Brotherhood supporters, and their history there in together since the president became president in the Middle East has been horrific for the Middle East, and we were talking about that. Now, one of the things that just before the break, though, we talked about reflexivity, George Soros and his NGOs bringing those in with the president into the Middle East and all throughout the nation here in America. Reflexivity, though, Chris, is quite an unusual concept that people might not understand. So we were talking about this before the break ended.
Well, I wrote a piece, The Puppet Master Soros Loses Big Betting Against the British People in the Brexit. Reflexivity, to put it sort of in a simple way from an investment standpoint, Soros actually came up with a theory while he was at the London School of Economics that helped him make $35 billion, and he called it reflexivity, and it's to manipulate investors in a crisis situation to take actions that are against their own self-interest. I call it essentially reflexivity is a sophisticated equivalent of shouting fire in a crowded theater to panic the crowd to racing for the doors and leaving their valuables behind.
Which is what he used to do as a kid with the Nazis.
Right. And interestingly, he started the crisis in the UK before the Brexit vote, drove the pound down, drove the market down, and then when it looked like the Brexit was going to fail, bought up a ton of futures options and currency options and thought he'd make his usual $1 billion to $2 billion on the deal. And the British people shocked him. Actually, I call it an act of God. It was the worst rain and lightning storm in history in the UK this time of year. And stopped a lot of people from going to the polls exactly in the places that favored the EU. And the vote was such a shock that it's believed that Soros actually lost a couple billion dollars. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Yeah, even if it was just $1 billion that he lost, it would be out of all the billions that he's done, you know, manipulated and has on his own. I want to quickly get into, in the last 3 or 4 minutes here, I want to get into the implications of the Erdogan fall for this president, President Barack Hussein Obama, both internationally and nationally.
Well, in history, of course, Barack Obama will be seen as a tremendous failure. But actually, I think he's going to be seen as a change agent. He thinks he was going to create an America, you know, that was this collectivist sort of post-Marxist society. And he actually exposed Americans to this kind of experience. And they not only rejected him in the U.S., they've rejected him all over the world. So his example of what life is like under this collectivist, what I call the Borg, is being rejected everywhere around the world. And it's really a revolutionary movement against the elitist and against Barack Obama, which of course was the poster child of these elitists.
So his influence here in the United States, I see continuing to wane, especially as he hooks up with Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's got her own struggles. It's certainly with the Comey testimony. I think she's got a negative now of trustworthiness of 56%.
People do not understand that Comey gave her the worst sort of tattoo across her forehead in that he said she's not sophisticated.
Oh yeah.
He also said she's definitely dishonest, has lied to Congress, and I won't tell you what we're doing with the foundation. But more importantly, Comey's testimony and the willingness of the Democrats to stay with Hillary Clinton is creating a collapse for Democrat senatorial candidates in key battleground states. This is the story you haven't heard yet, but if I talk to my Democrat friends, they are literally starting to panic. Hillary spent $70 million last month attacking Trump, and her numbers went down. They've never had a situation where they couldn't buy better polls. This is a revolutionary time. You know, Trump is the change agent, but it's the actions of Barack Obama that has created this revolutionary blowback.
It's amazing how this has all started to evolve, and that's where I was trying to get to an angle here, and perhaps in another time because we're running out of time here. This is, I think, this Erdogan thing, and we'll have to see how this all plays out in the next day or so, a couple of weeks. This Erdogan thing is going to really come back and bite him, and I think it's going to bite him at an inappropriate time for Hillary Rodham Clinton. She's just going to start folding and collapsing. Your thought on that, 30 seconds.
The dominoes are falling, and she's actually in the tail end of this. You know, dominoes falling like Turkey, like France, like Brexit. These are huge issues that have, you know, historic importance that'll last for decades.
Chris, we got another, you know, we got the music coming up right now on the backside of that. I wanted to get your opinion quickly about France and perhaps a Francit. Francit, I guess.
Well, the EU is gone. It's just a matter of, you know,
yeah, time.
Wondering when the earthquake takes it down.
Hang on, we'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. We've got Chris Street, and we're talking about, well, the crisis in the Middle East. Stay with us.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-600-5860. That's 800-600-5860.
800-600-5860.
This notion that somehow I can just change the laws unilaterally is just not true.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle. It's Paul Blessing at the Agenda 21 show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. And Chris is talking a little bit about dominoes here and things collapsing because we've seen Brexit. We're seeing this coup that's going on. We're seeing Hillary Rodham Clinton collapsing. We're seeing a lot of really good things that have positive outcomes. What about France, though, Chris? This is a big one and the rest of the EU.
Well, France is on the verge of having the first right-wing government since 1948. So we're not just talking about, you know, Republicans and Democrats left and right. We're talking about something absolutely historic since the Second World War. All of this is the gift that Barack Obama is giving the world. The world has seen what life under Barack Obama and his collectivist dream and his globalist, you know, machinations brings you, and it's a worldwide rejection.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, the great thing, and I'm a positive thinker, and I know you are too, Chris. This is all going to turn out very, very well for the United States of America and the rest of the world. Your thoughts about 20 seconds.
Well, I think it's a God thing, quite frankly.
You think?
You've seen the dark side and you've gone to the light.
That's exactly right. Very well put, Chris. Okay, contact information, Chris, quickly.
You can always see me on Breitbart, California, but I'm on Breitbart. The main page every day, and I speak on issues of economics, national security, and technology.
Awesome. Chris Street, thank you very much. Great to have you back on, and we're going to definitely have you on again. And actually, you're going to be one of our co-hosts, actually hosting the show during my absentee. Just thought I'd get that out there, everybody. Low pressure on Chris, but anyway, stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio. And remember, visit our website, agenda21radio.news. As I say at this time of the show, stay strong, America. Stay strong. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.